Why Jesus? Why all the talk of crucifixions and the resurrection of the dead? The idea that our present reality can be radically transformed by one historical day from antiquity? Why does this one event persist to shake nations, stands against kingdoms, relentlessly remaining there in every test in time? Why does the life of one rabbi bring hope to the billions and peace beyond understanding, peace even in facing death? His axioms transcend culture, moving between and among every generation, offering new grace with each day to the poor and to the rich, to the young and to the old, each who calls his name. This is not just a page between the chapters of history, neither myth, metaphor, nor a line of spectacular exaggeration. His influence on every human life story is unfit to be placed into any existing category. No, Jesus isn't written into our story. Rather, our story is written into his. Every authority, even the grave, obeys his sovereign will. This is why we exalt the mighty name of Jesus over and over and over again. His victory has given us life. His mercies stand at the center of our faith. He alone holds the pen of history. He is the one true God, and at that, a God who died for us. Why rejoice? Why is this our anthem? The answer for why Jesus comes down to this. Jesus is at the center. His victory over the grave is written into every line. Between old and new, between death and life, there stands one historical reality, the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen and amen. Do I need any more need be said? Probably not, but I will. Happy Easter and welcome. I'm Pastor Mike here with Aldersgate Church. If you're a guest in our midst, thank you for taking time to join us. Those of you that are tuned in online, thank you for taking time to join us as well. And those listening on the radio, don't change that dial. We have a word for you from God's holy word. For 20 years, I spent time working with the most broken of broken as a probation officer. Graduated from college, working for the sheriff's department. Worked as a parole agent, people coming out of prison. Worked with youth coming out of correctional facilities, worked with people that had committed crimes, some of them horrible crimes, placed on probation. So I got to see brokenness every day. The hopelessness of people searching for meaning, searching for purpose, searching for hope. And as I was embarking upon that journey, I entered a part-time call into youth ministry. And then about 7 years ago, I answered a full-time call. And I can tell you this, that if you were to ask my high school buddies, if you were to ask my college buddies, and if they were to tell you that someday I would be standing in a church on Easter Sunday morning preaching a sermon, they would laugh in your face. But the reason that I am is because we serve a good God. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a God that saves and He redeems. We serve a God because the tomb is empty, brings not just any hope, He brings living hope. The proclamation today is because the tomb is empty, there is victory. Victory for you, victory for me. Whatever you brought here today, whatever burden you bear, whatever struggle you're having, there is victory because of this day in history over 2,000 years ago. Because we serve a living God and the tomb is empty. Amen? This morning, about 7:15, 7:20, I ran into my son. And he was with his mentor. He's in confirmation. And he walked up. I was standing outside of my office, and he had a sweatshirt on, and he pulled out three long nails. And he said, and he held them up, and he showed them to me. And he and his mentor had had a conversation. And I so appreciate his mentor reminding him that it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on that cross. It was love. Don't ever forget that, church. That we don't get to today without first going through Good Friday. Today is Victory Sunday. And today we get to celebrate. And as I prepared my message, I thought to myself, my goodness, it's the easiest message ever because it preaches itself. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So today, I want to ask you a question. Who is Jesus to you? What does that empty tomb mean for you individually? What victory has that, his death and resurrection, brought you personally? And I think it's worth pondering. Because on a day when the Christian church all around the world is proclaiming a risen Savior, we have an administration that has the audacity to proclaim today as a day where we're going to celebrate and recognize the transgender community and make that visible. Here's the problem with that. The problem with that is today is the day that we celebrate victory over sin, that we would sin no more. And not invite a culture of people in a country to continue on sinning. And we as the church have the truth. We as the church need to stand up and stand in the gap and proclaim victory over sin. And go and sin no more. That's the proclamation. There is no such thing as cheap grace. Today's easy. Today we celebrate. Today the banner's white. Today it's beautiful because the tomb is empty. But don't forget Friday. Don't forget every mistake that you've ever made, every lie that you've ever told, every ounce of pride that you've ever exuded is covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Celebrate it, but don't take advantage of it. Today, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Don't you love that image? Sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him, collapsed at his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Today is Victory Sunday, but in Christ, every day is victorious for those in Jesus. I just ask, Father, that you hide me behind the cross, that I just want to show the people you, Jesus, because you're the only hope. You are alive, and in you there is victory over sin, over death, over the devil, and over the grave. And we thank you for this truth that is beyond our comprehension. Holy Spirit, move now as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. Easter. What is Easter truly all about? Well, our culture has taken advantage of Easter, for sure. Corporate America is the third largest commercial retail holiday. There will be 16 million Easter eggs dyed this Easter. There will be $20 billion spent on celebration. There will be 91 million chocolate bunnies sold, purchased. And there will be 1.5 billion peeps consumed this Easter. Holy smokes, that's a lot of sugar. Wow. But what's the real meaning of Easter? The real meaning of Easter. The real meaning of Easter is that there's victory over sin and death. The real meaning of Easter is that 2,000 years ago, God set a plan in motion to save humanity, that his son would enter time and space, and that he would be the perfect lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Easter is all about the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I ask you again this day, who is Jesus to you? Understand that this is historical fact, that what we're talking about today is not some myth, it's not some story that's just told in a book. This is a reality. This event happened. And there is more evidence, and I could go on for hours about the evidence of the empty tomb. But the truth of the matter is this. The greatest evidence are the lives changed and transformed by the power of the risen Savior. Yes, there are 39 ancient manuscripts from the first and second century that speak of the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, there are more than 500 witnesses that Jesus presented himself to over the course of the 40 days that he was alive here on this earth. But I believe that the greatest witness to the truth of Christ's resurrection is the transforming work of not just the apostles, but of all those that have followed. Listen to the words of Pastor Chuck Colson. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proves it to me, because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. And then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Every one of them was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured such punishment if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me the apostles would keep alive for 40 years and then die for it? Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Think of what the resurrection did and the hope that it gave to the apostles. Peter, who denied Jesus, who was broken, went from a fearful to faithful. Thomas, who doubted until Jesus presented himself to him and said, Thomas, look at the scars in my hands and my side. Oh, my God and my Father. From doubt to faith. What about Paul? Paul, the Pharisee who was persecuting Christians, encountered the risen Savior and went on preaching the good news and writing 2/3 of the New Testament. What about the 70 million Christians that have been martyred over the course of the history? One every 6 minutes, a Christian is killed for their faith. There will be 322 Christians killed this month alone. Why? Because it's not a lie. Because it's the truth. Because he's risen. Because the tomb is empty. Notice in our scripture when it says the earthquake and it shook the earth and that 2-ton stone was moved. Church, do you really think that Jesus needed that tomb to be moved for his sake? Absolutely not. That tomb was moved so that the others could see, so that the women could see, so that the disciples could see. Fear turned to joy and victory. In my own life, I'm not the man that I used to be. Growing up, my mom was divorced 5 times, married 5 times, divorced 4. We counted several years ago, and before I was 16 years old, we moved 33 times. 4 different states, 7 different towns. I didn't know what stability was. I was adopted when I was about 11 years old. My mom was in and out of women's shelters. We were in and out of abuse, places like Safe Harbor, going to different schools. And I will tell you this, that through all of that, God remained faithful. And for all of the things that my mother put us through, because she just wanted her 3 boys to have a father so desperately that would love them and that would care for them and would provide for them. Through all of that, I had a mom that loved her 3 boys dearly. And to this day, I have a mom that prays for my brothers and I. And I will tell you that God was faithful to answer those prayers because there's power and prayer, and the reason that I stand before you, not divorced even once, but married 25 years, and God's blessed me with 3 beautiful children, is because God is good. He's risen, and he's powerful, and he's transformed my life. It's not because I'm a good guy. It's because I serve and worship and was saved by a good and faithful God. Hear me today. Whatever your story is Jesus the center of your story? When you go through life flying at 30,000 feet, who has packed your parachute? Is it Jesus? So that when death comes calling, you can stare death in the face and say, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" You know why you can say that? Because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. That's why you can say that. No more fear of death. No more fear of the future. No more fear of the failure. No more guilt and no more shame of the things of your past. All forgiven. All washed white as snow. Isn't it beautiful when the Bible says that your sins are forgiven and cast as far as east is from the west? Start going east. You're always going east. Oh, what a beautiful Savior we serve. We serve a living God that wants to transform your life and take whatever circumstance you're in and show you how good and how faithful and how loving he is. Whatever it is that you've gone through, and we all have a story, the thing that matters the most is, who is Jesus to you? Has he saved you? Has he redeemed you in his mercy and in his grace and in his love? Has he brought you hope? There is a difference between hope and living hope. Our world is filled with hope. I hope that I can raise my family well. I hope that I can embark on a successful career. I hope that I can get a good job and provide for my family. I hope that I can manage my life well. I hope that God will bring healing in a broken relationship. Peter was an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus. And he writes these words in 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance. Hear that. Into an inheritance that will never perish, it will never spoil, and it will never fade. Hope. Living hope is found only in Jesus. We live in a hopeless society. Have you ever found yourself in a circumstance that seems absolutely impossible to get out of? Like there's absolutely no way that I'm going to get through this. There's absolutely no way that I survive this. There's absolutely no way that there's ever going to be any good come of this. Hopeless situations. Several years ago, we discovered that squirrels love yogurt. And I would take the garbage out, and there was this squirrel that would dig in our garbage and make an absolute mess. And he would go and grab something, and he'd go and he'd perch on our fence, and he'd eat everything imaginable. I didn't know squirrels ate yogurt, much less like Pop-Tarts and noodles and all of the things, ice cream. But we noticed one day the squirrel decided to eat some yogurt, and it proved to be a very poor decision, as evidenced by this video.
Hilarious. This is a squirrel with his head caught in a yogurt container. This is hilarious. That is hilarious. A squirrel with his head caught in a yogurt container. That's hilarious.
Oh, man, what a mess. So, in my sympathy, I went and put on a glove. And I should have videoed it, but I didn't. I was just too nervous. I didn't want to get scratched and have to go and get shots. So I approached the squirrel, and I picked the squirrel up by the yogurt can, and he's stuck. So I shake it a little bit, and he's still stuck. So I shake it a little bit more, and he's still stuck. So I step back, and I give it a fling, and he goes flying. And I ran the other direction. I'm like, holy smokes, I wish we would have caught that on video. But church, that truly is you and I without Jesus. We are wandering aimlessly in the dark, searching for meaning and purpose and hope in this life. And the resurrection is the proof of the hope and the meaning and the salvation that comes from a risen Savior. And we don't have to look for that fulfillment in anything that this world has to offer, because you won't find it. You won't find it. It saddens me that even believers work so hard to fight for victory in life instead of just surrendering and saying, I'm not going to fight for victory. I'm going to fight from it. The victory is won. The tomb is empty. And because of that, whatever you're facing, there is hope, a living hope into an inheritance, an eternal inheritance that will never spoil and it will never fade. And when you and I were dead in our sin and wandering around aimlessly, here comes the love of God to bring you from death to life. That's a beautiful truth. And my question for you today is, do you know him? Have you encountered this living God? Because the beautiful, beautiful truth is that nowhere will you discover the body of Jesus. Muhammad, his body's there. Confucius, his body's there. Gandhi, his body's there. Jesus is risen. That's the hope. That's the victory. That's where whatever it is that you're going through, you can cry out to him, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, help me. Save me. Give me strength. Give me joy. Give me peace. There's freedom and there's victory. God doesn't want to just save you from your sin. He wants to transform you into his son's likeness that you can go out and be a light in this dark world. And oh, do they need the living hope. Every one of us have friends. Every one of us have family members that if they die today, they don't have the assurance of a salvation, of a risen Savior. And so I implore you today, if you know Jesus, stop and reflect on this and ask God, what would you have me do that I would point people to you? God does the saving. That I would point people to you, the living hope. You see, as sons and daughters of the one true King, we don't just inherit salvation. Christ's righteousness is also given to us. Our sins forgiven, past, present, and future. We have a hope that the best is yet to come. I don't know about you. These might sound like really strange words to you. Because today, some of you are here, and you want to be here. And you're glad to be here. And others, you came because mom and dad or grandma or grandpa or boyfriend or girlfriend, somebody drugged you here. But whatever the reason, you're here. And there's a reason that you're here. And it's to hear the truth of who Jesus is and the hope that we have in this risen Savior. To forgive every sin. To break every chain. To reconcile and restore and heal. You see, here's the thing. Not only does he give us salvation, he also gives us victory over all of our fears. He gives us a renewing of our mind. He gives us meaning. He gives us purpose. That's what God does. If you lay your head on your pillow tonight and you don't have peace, ask yourself, what are you hanging on to? What are you hanging on to that the God of the universe can't handle? What are you hanging on to that God's saying, is it really bigger than me? He wants to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. No matter what it is that you're going through, be reminded of the victory that we have in Jesus. Into a living hope, into an inheritance that will never fade. In closing, just a couple of scriptures that remind us of how good and faithful our Father is. 1 John 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called his children. What a privilege to be called a child of the one true God. You see, there's grace and there's mercy. Grace is receiving something you don't deserve. We don't deserve God's riches at Christ's expense, but he gives them to us. Salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. Mercy is the act of withholding punishment, not being imputed on us, given to us what we deserve, what our sin nature deserves. When I was a court service officer, I was on some state business, and I was in a state vehicle, and I was in a hurry, and I rolled up to a stop at 6th Avenue, and I whipped out in front onto 6th Avenue, and it wasn't even 3 seconds, and I saw the cherries. I'm like, doggone it. So I get pulled over. It was a highway patrolman, and he pulls me over, and he gets out, and he takes me back to his vehicle, and he says, I see that's a state vehicle. I said, it is. He said, who do you work for? I said, the 5th Judicial Circuit. He said, so you work for the courts? I said, I do. He said, so you work with the judges. I said, I do. He said, what do you think the judges would think of me writing you a ticket for pulling in front of me and just about causing an accident? And I said, they probably wouldn't be real happy about it. And then he asked me this question. What would you do if you were me? Should I write you a ticket? What was I supposed to say to that? Because I absolutely deserved a ticket. I absolutely deserve to have to face that and go talk to my boss and face the fact that on state business, I was in a hurry and I broke the law. And I said, well, I deserve a ticket. And he smiled and he wrote me a warning. So I must have said the right thing, thankfully. Here's my point, that God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in our sins, he made us alive through Jesus Christ. Today, church, is Victory Sunday. Today is the day that if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't, you have nothing. Because the day's coming when the trumpets will sound. The day's coming when God is going to return. And are you ready? Are you ready? If you're not, get ready. Repent. Believe upon him. Be born again to new life. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead will indwell you, forgiving all of your sins, all of them, past, present, and future, and bring you into a living hope and an inheritance into the kingdom of God. We can't fathom it, but by faith, will you receive it? By faith today, will you surrender your life to Christ? And if you have, today, will you go out and be a witness to the living hope that you have in the victory because of a risen Savior? Amen. I would invite you to stand. There's only one benediction that is appropriate for this day. And it is this: he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. Holy Spirit, work on the hearts of your people. I just pray, Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, they would experience your great power, your great love, your great mercy, and the forgiveness that comes from receiving you by faith through grace. And for those here, Father, that do know you, encourage them, strengthen them, Father, as they continue to grow in their faith, making you the centerpiece of all that they do. God, you're a good God. We don't celebrate just today. We celebrate always. Help us to remember we don't fight for victory. We fight from it. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.